Bow hunters are some of the hardest working hunters there are. Most of us work hard all year long just to get a couple weekends or burn our vacation time to sit in a tree. And just like the American blue collar worker, we're trying to balance work, family, faith, and a little time for ourselves in the great outdoors. Now let me introduce you to Trollco Clothing, a brand built by blue collar workers for blue collar workers. Workwear, comfortable tees, hoodies and hats for both men and women, Trollco represents the hardworking American. So whether you're operating heavy equipment, wrenching on engines, or in a factory living that shift life, Trollco has your back, literally. Head to trollco.com/hunting. That's trollco.com/hunting and enter the discount code Empire25 for 25% off of your first order. Trollco, for the hardworking American. You're listening to the Sportsman's Empire Podcast Network, brought to you by Full Sneak Gear. Check out their entire lineup at fullsneakgear.com. Also, be sure to check out our entire stable of podcasts at sportsmansempire.com. This episode of the Sportsman's Empire is brought to you by Interstate Batteries. Since 1952, Interstate Batteries has been evoking compassion and a trustworthy spirit into the surrounding communities. Interstate Batteries is a mission-driven company fueled by purpose and guided by their values. If you need help locating a specific battery, stop into your local Interstate Batteries retail store and speak with a battery specialist. They even offer cell phone repairs. Interstate Batteries. Outrageously dependable.
5 a.m. I'm up with a crisp Celsius energy drink. Running 12 miles today. Grab a green juice, quick change, and head to work. Meetings, workshops, one more Celsius, no slowing down. Working late, but obviously still meeting the girls for a little dancing. Celsius. Live. Fit. Go. Grab a cold, refreshing Celsius at your local retailer or locate now at Celsius.com.
Spring break isn't what it used to be. It's better. This spring, stay three nights and get a $50 Best Western gift card. Life's a trip. Make the most of it at Best Western. Visit bestwestern.com for complete terms and conditions.
President's Day savings are happening now at the Home Depot with up to 40% off select appliances. Looking to upgrade your fridge? Check out LG's newest model, serving up ice in all kinds of styles. Cube, crushed, craft ice, and now new mini craft ice straight from the dispenser. From cold brew to fizzy favorites, these refrigerators will have you entertaining like a pro. Shop President's Day savings and get up to 40% off, plus free delivery on select appliances like LG at the Home Depot. Free delivery on appliance purchases of $1,498 or more. Offer valid February 5th through the 25th, U.S. only. See store online for details.
Welcome to the Antler Up podcast, brought to you by Tethered, the world's best saddle hunting gear, and we got a great show for you all today. You're listening to the Antler Up podcast, where we dive into archery, hunting, and the mindset needed to elevate your game. Join us as we explore the latest strategies and gear to help you become the best hunter you can be, both in and out of the woods. And turkey season is here, and if you're serious about running and gunning for gobblers, you need a vest that's as mobile and adaptable as you are. That's where the Tethered M2 Turkey Vest comes in. Designed with the input from the hunting public and built for high-speed, low-drag performance, the M2 is ultra-light, whisper-quiet, and completely modular. Whether you like to keep it minimalist or pack in every tool of the trade, the M2's MOLLE-compatible system lets you set up your gear exactly how you want it. It's made from Whisper Tough fabric, a blend that's soft and silent on the outside but tough as nails on the inside, all wrapped in the legendary Mossy Oak Bottomland camo. And best of all, the M2 is proudly made here in the USA, built for durability, designed for the ultimate mobility, and ready for the toughest turkey woods. So head on over and grab yours today over at tethered.com. At Antler Up, we know that quality gear can make or break your hunt, and that's why we're excited to partner with Huntworth Gear. If you're looking for premium gear without the premium price tag, Huntworth has you covered. And new for 2024, the Vertec pattern is a dynamic woodland camo pattern blending perfectly into any environment, whether you're stalking in the early season or hunkering down in the late season. From lightweight options for those warm September days to insulated gear that will keep you warm during the harshest winter conditions, Huntworth has you covered for everything you need all year long. Gear up right now and head over to huntworthgear.com to check out their full lineup.
Jim, what kind of call did you use today?
A mouth call.
What's up, everybody? Welcome back to the show, and I'm joined by Weston Homa. Weston, dude, welcome back to the show. We've chatted a little bit through before we hit the record button. We got caught up quickly on a 3-minute conversation last week of like, it's typical, I would say, of like our mindset of you're driving, you're doing something, I'm on the Stairmaster, I'm like, dude, I got this idea, let's record. You're like, I'm down, dude, hit me up, let's do it. And here we are, man. So it's a pleasure to catch up to you, and I'm even more pumped because we were just talking about TAC, and we've brought it up on the podcast the past couple weeks with myself and Jim, Josh, and Tim. We're excited for that. And knowing that you're going to be there, we could catch up, dude. It's going to be fun. So we're gonna have a fun one today, dude. I'm pumped. So welcome back.
Yeah, dude, I'm excited. I'm always looking forward to sitting down with like-minded people and chopping it up. Glad to be back on the podcast. I think it was like maybe around this time last year, I think I came on.
Yep.
Yeah, so looking forward to talking here again. And yeah, you called me. I was like, yeah, let's do it. I'm excited.
Yeah, man, dude, you've had a busy year. So before I talk about Weston's busy year and everything that he's accomplished and what he's doing currently, just to give you a quick little outline of what hopefully Weston and I are able to cover. You know me, sometimes I go down rabbit holes and squirrels and I get in the cage going, but we're going to try to have talk about like defining success, self-improvement, daily mindset, and applying all of that to not only everyday life, but how can we connect that to our hunting adventures, our fitness adventures, and all that type of stuff. So that's our outline for kind of today. Hopefully we get there. Hopefully we accomplish a lot. But Weston, dude, you had a heck of a year. So like you just said, we just spoke. You've gone through injury. You've started a new podcast. You've filled a bunch of tags. You're going on another hunt coming up here soon. You got a big marathon coming up. So busy, 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 man. But I just want to say congrats on a hell of a fun, successful hunting season, plus recovering from that injury and getting after it. And of course, starting your podcast, man. So congrats to you.
Yeah, thanks, man. It's fun because I remember sitting here last year having this conversation and talking about everything I had lined up, and then actually doing the things you say you're going to do, and then looking back, that's how you build your confidence and your self-esteem. So it's fun to sit here a year later and be like, oh yeah, I did all those things. But the more fun thing is then, and I found myself doing this every year now, like I do these things, I have a hell of a year, but then I'm like, oh wait. Wait till next year. Wait till I got what I got coming up down the pipe here soon. So I'll even get into like what I got coming up, which will be even bigger.
Yeah, man. That's awesome. I look at you and I'm like, man, I don't know how he does it. Like I wake up, like I'm struggling getting up for a turkey hunt nowadays anymore. And I mean, I'm getting up because the baby's getting up and whole 1.5 years old at this point in time. So the whole sleep schedule gets altered because of development and all that stuff. It's like, you're good for a couple months and then it's like, nope, upside your head, you're slapped, and 4 o'clock hits and she's Bubba, can I come daddy, dada? So I have to go in there and grab her, and then I'm up and we take turns, and then it's like, okay, now we have to get ready for work. So, but yeah, man, you're getting after it. You're in the wood, or yeah, I should say the woods. You're in the gym posting early, which is what I love. Man, what do you do? Because I remember years ago, I would say when Nora was kind of, prior to Nora being born, which was over 11 years ago, plus two when she was a baby, dude, I used to love getting up at the ass crack of dawn, going into the gym, and I felt like really good. And I would say the last couple of years, I've been like a mid-morning type of guy. Like I feel if I get a little bit of more food in me, like a little bit of a protein oats and some protein powder in me along those lines and make overnight oats. Dude, I'll have that at today at 6:30 in the morning, like right when everybody's getting up in the house basically to get ready for work or school and all that. And then my workout might be sometime during my off period or something along those lines. Man, I friggin' love that time frame. I feel good.
And whereas years ago, I'd been like, I'm not eating before I work out. Like, I'm going empty stomach and all that type of stuff. But dude, what's your magic pill? What are you doing for 5 a.m. crushing workouts and bench pressing like 235 at that time in the morning?
Well, I think there is some truth to the idea of what people will call burning the boats. And what I mean by that is I set these massive goals every year. And I've now just become obsessed with just getting better and trying to find my limit. So I have so much that I want to squeeze into the day. It's almost like I have no other option besides to get up at 4 in the morning each morning, or sometimes 3:30, just to get up and run. So I will say real quick, like, when we were sitting here last year, I think I talked about it, and then I'll just recap kind of how it went. So I think we were talking about I had a marathon coming up, and I was trying to get to Boston. I did qualify for Boston in said marathon. We were talking about a 70-mile ultra marathon I was going to run. I did run that. I finished in the top 20. I had some stomach problems. I wish I could have stuck out that top 10, but just going to keep at it. Running's kind of my thing. These big ultra marathons, they help me get mentally ready for some of these big hard hunts I do. So I went to Colorado and elk hunted. I went and hunted mule deer in Idaho. And then I came back, of course, and hunted my whitetail was here and was able to get a black bear too. This year coming up, again, like, I just can't help but, like, what's next? Like, I did that. I want more. So next, we're recording here mid-May. I'm leaving for Spring Bear in Idaho next week, actually. I'll be gone for about a week. Come back. I'll see you at TAC. Mm-hmm. Later in June, I am running a marathon in Minnesota. My goal there is 2 hours, 50 minutes. So that's going to be about a 6 minute, 29 second mile pace for 26 miles. And then in August, I have a 100-mile ultra marathon. It's the Eastern States 100 miler, 20,000 feet of gain. It's up by Lock Haven, PA. Oh. Mm-hmm. I'm actually doing that one with no crew, meaning I won't have like family there or assistants or somebody to jump in and run with me for a little bit. It'll just be me, which is going to be a challenge for sure, but I'm excited for that. And then I should draw my high country archery mule deer tag in Colorado for the first half September, second half September. Then I'm going to go hunt elk in Colorado and then hunt whitetails and bears here again. So I wanted to kind of paint that picture of kind of like these big things I put on the map to where I circle back and it's like, okay, I got these things every day. They do excite me. They like give me this direction and this purpose, and this is what I want to do, and this is what I want to focus on. I can't help but like wake up and just give it all I got every day. And it does feel good getting all the things I know I need to get done to prepare for these big things in the day and then going to sleep at night. And then consistently just stacking and stacking and stacking wins. You just build your self-esteem and your confidence. And then I was on, I actually did the, I had Brian Barney on my podcast from Eastman's. And then I actually recorded on his podcast with him on the Eastman's Elevated podcast. And I was saying on there, like he's so passionate about what he does and he works so hard. And we were just kind of going back and forth about the passions we have for these adventure hunts and training and everything. And like, one thing I was saying was like, dude, I just get so excited for the day. Like and it's truthfully now, like, people think like you have to just tell yourself, because everybody has heard the expression, there's difference between I have to and I get to. Right. I think you just have to like go through the suck. Give yourself evidence that you're getting better, you're winning days, you're doing it, you're staying disciplined and showing up to work out when you don't want to work out or whatever the thing is. Then when you start seeing the growth, I truthfully like look at these as get-tos every single day. So my alarm goes off at 4 in the morning and it is a gratitude get-to. And that is not me being corny or hippie. It's literally gotten to that point. Do I get tired? Yeah, really tired. But that's truthfully, that's what's worked for me.
Right. Well, and it's like a feeling. Do you know what I mean? It's like a, you either have it right off the get-go, and you just have to make that choice. And after, like what you said, to getting those W's, getting those wins, those small wins, it's a certain feeling that you don't end up knowing then that you realize, I think, that you're that you have it, right? That you enjoy it just because it becomes so natural and becomes so much part of your routine. Because like what I was just saying to you earlier about like the timing, I actually, it sounded like I was complaining when I have to wake up at 4 or something in the morning, but actually I don't mind those days because what you just said, that's when I get things a little bit done. I might have a 45-minute window to actually might work on something that when it's family time, I don't have to sit there and say, hey, I got to go work on something for a half hour. Could you give me just a little bit? I don't have to say that because when I do have to say that now, Weston, it sucks. Like now I'm like, dang, I'm pulling away. She's up there dealing with something. Maybe like it, and it's for me, like for us and our family, it's little things. It's just even getting, that might be the time where my wife might be with my oldest daughter while the baby's sleeping. And that allows me to still be in the vicinity, but I'm getting bottles ready, right? Just to help out and do my part of being a good husband and being a good dad, basically. But instead of being like, hey, not only do you have to hang out with her, you have to do that while I go try and do this, right? Like we're going to get done here recording here in a little bit. There's going to be still daylight or just barely daylight. I didn't get a chance to go out and lace up my sneakers yet to go for a run. I'm going to do it now, like after we record. Do you know what I mean? Like that's,
yeah.
I know it. I've planned my nutrition where I'm hopefully going to be able to go do what I need to do. Now I'm not doing what you're doing, but like for me, it's allowing me to go out and get some, you know, whatever out that I need. But no, man, there's a lot to take out of that. And I like how you're saying you set yourself up some goals. You like seeing them accomplish and you want to continuously fulfill them. Like you want to see what you're capable of, like your limits. That to me is a very, what's the right terminology I'm trying to find? That is a very mature, someone that's done some shit, if that makes sense. Do you see what I'm trying to say? Like, cause now I'm in a different point of my life where I'm trying to accomplish certain things on the fitness side where I look back at where I was not happy when I was my best, whether it be the physicality of what I looked like strength wise. And I want to blow that sucker out of the water now. And then guess what? It's a lot harder. And that's okay because now what you're just saying, it makes me want to push and get better. And it's really cool to see that intrinsic motivation. And that's what I do want to talk to you about a little bit about the intrinsic and versus the extrinsic kind of success. But no, man, that's some really good stuff. And I like the point of what you said about creating goals and seeing what your limit is, because hopefully, you know, you don't see your limit.
Yeah, totally. And I think that mindset stems from, I think people cap themselves really early in you know, whatever craft because they put themselves in a box. But once you start kind of going outside the norm and getting away from, dude, for so long, like I never really put on muscle. Like I was just lifting 3 days a week at the gym, like through college, like getting a pump. My intent was way off, like wasn't serious about it. But I just then said, these are my genetics. Like, this is it. I'm not this. I'm not a runner. I'm not like a huge bodybuilder or not that I'm that now, but like all these things, like you just cap everything. Mm-hmm. And then you kind of need to give yourself that evidence of like that first real win and breaking that first glass ceiling. Cause that's all it is. It's glass. Mm-hmm. Once you break that, then that's when that idea of like, well, gosh, I just went and did like, and this was me 5 years ago. I just went and did that 5 mile run. That was insane. I haven't ran that far. I think I ran that far one time in high school. I wonder if like I can sign up for a half marathon one day. And then months and months later, you keep showing up, you run 13 miles, and then you're like, still here. oh my gosh, I just broke through another glass ceiling. And then you just have to stay focused. And it's all about what you want. If you want to keep looking and seeking and trying to get better and push and find that limit, you can. And then that half marathon turns to a marathon and then a 50K. And then I skipped 50 mile in 100K. I went from, 36 miles to 70, which was a hell of a jump. But then now I'm going to 100, and it's like, gosh, dude, it's exciting. And that's what I'm saying. Like, it will get you out of bed in the morning for sure.
Yeah, the unknown, right? Like,
exactly.
Yeah, I like that. So what do you, how do you define success for yourself? You know, not just in hunting, but in life, all that.
Yeah, I think people spend a lot of time worrying about what they're going to do this weekend, and they spend hardly any time of what they want their life to look like in 10 years, 20 years, 30 years, whatever. So I'm really happy in the fact that, like, well, I will say I got to the point in my, like, younger 20s into mid-20s where, like, I was kind of at a low mentally, totally hollow, no direction. Honestly, I was drinking a lot. I was doing a lot of things I shouldn't be doing. I felt like I did everything I was kind of, like, supposed to do on paper, but I hated everything, my job, like, where I was at in life, like, all these things. So I now have gratitude because it gave me such activation energy to be like, okay, I want to start doing shit. I don't want to keep being this guy that watches people on YouTube, like, at night being like, damn, I want to be like that guy. Damn, I wish I could do that. To me, if you're that guy for a long time, that's pretty weak. So I think finally, and I'm all for inspirational stuff. Like, I, you know, I dip into that cookie jar every now and then. I like watching people, especially people that are better than me, gives me some motivation. But you have to then really just start to figure out what you want. And that's kind of my advice I give to people. It's like, what do you like? What do you watch on YouTube at night? Like, what do you kind of see on your Instagram feed? What gets you excited? What is something that you used to do and say, like, oh, I can't do now because I'm older, I have kids, or whatever? So I think that's kind of people's thing. And if you really care about that, and that's something you want to pursue, and that could look completely different from one person to another. Like, success truly has to be intrinsic and what's going to make you fulfilled. It could be $1 billion. It could be just paying off your mortgage. It doesn't matter. It has to truly be you. Because actually, when you start making it external, you're kind of giving away the power that it can have. So it has to truly be what you want. Because when you start pursuing that, then you're actually going to start to feel fulfilled. If it's like somebody else's dream or somebody else's expectations, you're going to be chasing like a rabbit that you're never going to catch, and you're never really going to feel good. So I really spent at that point in my life, like, a lot. And I'm, you know, I don't want to sound like I'm 50 looking back and I've done everything, but over the last few years, I've totally feel like I've kind of transformed myself a little bit. But, and I'm really think I'm putting myself on this path, but spent like not 5 minutes, not one night, like multiple days, like kind of piecing together, like, what do I like? If I close my eyes, like, what's like my dream property? Like, where do I want to be? What do I want to do? These races, just then I started to kind of like break this glass ceiling. I think I ran my first marathon. So it kind of gave me like a little glimpse of like, oh, like, you can get better at things. Like, things are like, if you just, it just takes 10 times longer and it's 100 times harder than you think it will. But like, you can get better at things, and maybe there are no limits. I don't know. When I ran the marathon, I didn't immediately be like, oh, I'm going to run 100 miles in whatever that was in 3 years. No, like, you know, you just take a little bit bigger bites of the elephant. But I realized that pattern early, and then it's like, well, time's on your side. So just dream big, because there's no disadvantages to not dreaming big. You might as well dream big and aim for the stars, because when you get to the moon, that's pretty freaking cool, and you just keep chasing the stars, you know what I mean? No so doubt. You just lay all that out, and everything that excites you and what you want. And then once you kind of have that picture, And honestly, this sounds like really lame, and I probably would have like made fun of the kid that kind of did this stuff in high school. But yeah, dude, I have a little vision board. It's right here. It's behind my computer, so like nobody can see it. But it's just all these things that kind of like make sense to me and things that I want to do. And that, to me, is my success. And I don't really care what anybody else thinks or whatever anybody else is doing. I try to learn from others that are better than me. And I will compare myself to people that are better than me because I want to know if, like, you know, somebody that's running 100 miles, but I've only ever run 30 miles, like, I want to know what that guy's doing. Like, how much, like, it's, I'm not going to feel bad about it. Like, oh, I'm not that good. It's just like, I want to learn from that person. So I do compare myself to others. I think that's a, that's an interesting hot take. The,
it is.
Don't compare yourself to others. I think it's all about how you like react to it.
Right.
But that's how you can really picture success for yourself. Like really just paint that picture and just think, man, I think people just need to spend more time in thought.
And I think I agree with you. And I personally think it's not necessarily comparing yourself. Like what you were just saying, if someone is better than, do you know what I'm saying? Like, I don't necessarily think it's like when you have the right mind frame, I think that's where like you, yes, you might be comparing yourself, but I almost feel like you're more on a scientific approach of trying to have a better understanding. Do you know what I'm saying? Like you're not comparing it and talking shit about that person, like, well, shit, he's running. Do you know what I mean? You're not doing that. You're more of like, you have like a more of a intellectual curiosity of what is that person doing and how can I get better to be maybe like that? So like, you're still in your own lane, but you are trying to get there. Type of ordeal. Does that make sense? Like I was guilty and I've admitted to it. Like when you like in that whole social media space, and that was like, I always felt like when I was finally able to let go of that and not get care about comparing me and what I'm doing, my platform to other people's platforms. It's like, this is its own thing. There is their own thing. If they have success, I kind of looked at it. Now it's like, shit, that do your thing, dude. Like whatever it be, like have fun, like take your niche, run with it, do your thing. And they figured something out that maybe I didn't, and values change and things change like all the time in that sense of things. And that's, dude, once I stopped comparing and I just learned to stay in my own lane, that's where I felt like mentally and things did better for that. So I think like that's where maybe just because that's way I take it. But yeah, cause there's things like I could even say the same for like other people. It's like, man, that dude's almost 40 and they're out there running and being jacked and all that stuff. And it's, instead of like being a negative Nancy about it, if I have a more curiosity of like, what are they doing? Like, I want to learn more about that. It's, you know what I mean? It's not necessarily I'm comparing myself to that. It's like, dang, like, you could do that. Like you said, like, how can we break that mirror? How can we break that glass and get to that next stage? So I agree with you. I think it is a comparison, but I think if you have the right mindset, it's in a different form. It's like a comparison A is bad and comparison B is like the good form of it.
Yeah, I think so. I think what you're saying is very true. I think it's a testament to that you are very secure with your art. This is your art. Your platform is your art, and it fulfills you, and you're secure with it. You're not trying to be something else. So that way, there is no, it's like, Joe's doing that, I'm doing this. There is no, what is there to compare? This is my art. If there's things you want to learn from Joe, you can ask him. And what's really cool is when like people always, like, this is how they say losers think. Losers would like, look at, we'll just keep using Joe. Like, Joe has a huge like platform, bigger than yours, bigger than mine, whatever. They look and they just make excuses like, oh, well, he grew his platform because he has his cousin, like he knows so-and-so and they have a huge brand deal and he gets all this free marketing or blah, blah, blah. But really, dude, when people are actually winning, I found this in the running space. I found this in like the hunting space. Real winners, they like to see other people win. And I put this as a little quote, like kind of on my page, because when I reach out to this somebody that's like a faster marathoner than me, I could, maybe the more insecure younger version of me would have been like, oh, well, they're just, you know, their parents were in the Olympics or something. Just total BS. But no, you, or now you look at that and I could be like, hey, Brian, like, dude, how many miles are you running a week? Or like, what's your speed workouts looking like? Like, I want to be as fast as you. Like, how do I do it? Dude, they like seeing people, like winners like to see people win. They'll tell you. I've never once had somebody kind of in that space, like tell me like, oh, screw off, I'm better than you. That's not actually how it works, but that's what you think they might do. And then same in the hunting space. Like you look at, like I know, you've had on Chris Wiest, and you know, like I've kind of connected with him a little bit. Like a lot of things is just time and reps, and you see how much that dude's in the woods. And like somebody could easily say like, oh, like, you know, he kills all those deer because I mean, we've heard all the excuses. But no, you ask Chris, like Chris will tell you like, oh no, I'm like a big scrape guy. Like this is how I make my scrapes. Like, you know, I get out a lot. Like I scout a lot of days and it takes a lot of work and all that thing. But this, I do X, Y, Z. Like you can do it too. I'll help you. So it's like, yeah. What do we ever have to be negative about? Like
it's crazy.
It's yeah. So that's, yeah, you got to look at it as, dude, you can learn from anyone and don't compare your, you're just at like, you might just be at level one, dude. And that guy's at level nine, right. And everything is just reps. And that's all it is. And if it's just reps, well, then I got news for you. You can do them too. So now it's in your control. So you just got to start working.
What I like to, even going back to what you said earlier about setting goals and everything along those lines and evolving and, you know, going from your like 30 miler to up to a 70 and skipping to 50 and everything along those lines. It's funny to see how like your definition of success, even goals, have evolved like over those last couple of years, you know, like even like you said, like, let's look at those last 3-4 years where you feel like you've really made a big transformation in the weight room. Like you're saying, you're just chasing the pump, like really not focusing on maybe that muscular growth, and just getting in there doing the job. And that's what I've said that the last couple of years. Like I was talking to somebody, I was like, man, you know, those last 2-3 years, I felt like I was just doing maintenance work. You know what I mean? And it's like, I look back on it, I'm like, oh, why was I lifting the same weight for 3 years? Like it makes no sense. And I was like making every excuse of the book, like, oh, my shoulders, like I don't want any pain. Like I see my colleagues that have to get shoulder surgeries and like all that. I'm like, I definitely don't want that. And then finally, like I said, a couple months ago and everything like that, I just was like, dude, you said, don't be a little bitch.
Dude, you know what I mean? I was like, you almost like took the words out of my mouth. It's like, you know, the David Goggins, you're being a bitch.
Yeah.
Like, you need that sometimes, mm-hmm. dude, because like, guess what? You're either, it's true. Like you're either getting better or you're getting every day or you're getting worse every day. You're either growing or you're dying. Because that's how I see it. If I'm in the gym and I'm doing maintenance, well, time is passing. So it's like technically I'm getting worse.
Yep.
So it's all about intent, dude. And real quick, like Atomic Habits, James Clear, great book. Mastery is deliberate practice times intent. So it's like everybody talks about like half the battle showing up, but nobody talks about the other half. It's your intent, dude. Are you actually going in there and trying to progressively overload your muscles? Or are you doing the same old shit you did last week? Are you in the woods actually looking for sign, or are you going to take a loop around that clear cut like you do every freaking weekend? All these things. Like, are you going to go sit in that same tree that you've yet to see a shooter buck out of the last 3 years? Are you going to get down this off season and scout somewhere new and try something different? There's so many guys that hunt like that. They do the same thing year after year after year. And obviously we know that's like the definition of insane. So you take it, all these things, dude. It's everything in life. Like you got to show up and you got to have the right intent.
Yeah, dude. Amen to that. Like we could end the podcast right there. Just show up and have a friggin' purpose with intent, because no, you're right. And it's funny because like now if I'm working out during my off period and there's kids in there and everything like that. And it's funny because I could only imagine if thank goodness they're not allowed to use their cell phones in there, because they would be filming me making like funny faces as I'm like trying to get that last rep and everything along those lines. Like, you know, going to failure or whatever like that. It's funny because it's just, like I said, it's a shit that I haven't done in the last couple of years. And my one colleague and a couple other people and my buddies, and they're like, dang, dude, like it's coming quick for you, like the transformation a little bit and stuff like that. And I was like, well, I've been, you know, like you said, you have that intent. Like, I haven't missed tracking my macros in 2.5 months. I've hit every workout that I possibly can. And like I said, today was more of a cardio day. And when we're off the air, I'll tell you about my massage therapy that I had done today, which just felt like a new man. That's all I'm gonna say.
Okay, nice. Okay.
Yeah, dude. And so I was gonna ask you about like your recovery work and everything along those lines. But yeah, it's just neat to see how your definition, your goals change over the years. But let's quickly maybe talk about like that intrinsic and extrinsic success. So like, obviously, when you look at that intrinsic, that is like your feeling, right? Like, that is your personal satisfaction. Like, that's what we get. And that's what I was saying to you earlier, I think, when it's that feeling we get, right? Like, when you know it, it feels good doing it and you're going after it. And then that external stuff is this things that's like, you want that reward. That is, you're putting in time, your effort and all that stuff in scouting, and hopefully your reward at the end is placing a perfectly placed bullet or arrow on that animal and everything like that. Like, that's your external success. Do you see, for me personally, I think now they both go hand in hand. But man, that internal one of like knowing that you showed up, like on your Western hunt, like you dealt with some struggles last year, like having wasn't it a burn? Is that my,
yeah,
correct?
So I got basically smoked out of my unit in Idaho while on the hunt, and they shut down my hunt unit.
Okay.
Before it really even started, it was the day before opening day. Went to Colorado, bought an OTC elk tag, and I arrowed a big cow up in the mountains solo. So got that on my YouTube channel if you want to watch that hunt film. But yeah, that was a huge growth.
So like when you're out there, right? Like when that happens, like what's the motivation, right? Like obviously, like it's more balanced probably towards that external, right? Like you're going out there to fill a tag mainly, but then it turns into like you're dealt with this unforeseen circumstance, and it's like, okay, how can you not let that just be like, F it, I'm going home. Do you know what I mean? So like, what, like walk us through that of maybe of that success.
Yeah. So I think it just stems from, I just hate to lose. And I say that because I've lost a lot, growing up, and I felt like truthfully I was a coward in a lot of ways. Like maybe I was cocky and I definitely wasn't confident, but it just came from like, I never really stacked evidence in anything that like I could win. And I think just pursuing, you can hear Joe Rogan talk about this a lot. Like he got good at fighting like when he was young, and he was like, I used to feel like a loser. And then I started literally like kicking ass. And then I was like, oh my God, you can get better at things. And then now he's like, you know, a professional at everything. So I think you have to, though, like I've had hunts. I went out there the first 2 years I started going out there, and I came home with an unpunched elk tag, and it drove me insane. Like I hated the fact that I was in that same bucket as the 90% of people that don't punch an elk tag, when I know I, you know, am in better shape and I read more about elk behavior and I e-scout and I'm in the same bucket as like, you know, Bubba that didn't leave his truck out there the whole time, and it just drives me nuts. So I think letting those failures can fuel you, and it's having that attitude of not, you just, I'm just refusing to quit. Like, I just hate losing. And to me, that would be losing. Like, my definition of success on that hunt was coming home with something. It wasn't like a big 6x7. I knew that wasn't really that probable on an OTC elk unit, but that was my first archery elk, and I got that, and I arrowed a cow, and it felt like I did kill that 400 inch bull. Like, to be honest, that was my version of success at that time. So it goes back to that. But I think the intrinsic and extrinsic, motivation and success, they both go hand in hand. But I think the intrinsic one is what people really shouldn't sleep on. I think that's really what we're after. Like, if you think about it, the extrinsic motivation could be 160-inch whitetail. But is that really what you want? Or do you want to be the intrinsic motivation of, like, doing all the scouting, running cameras, having it all come together, getting the wind perfect, and then after a couple days, like just day after day of grinding, and then finally during the rut, like he's coming in and like you put an arrow in him and like you hunted that buck, and that intrinsic motivation of like, I want to be a better hunter. I want to be like a public land big buck killer. Like that's, I think, what you really want. Same thing with like, I've done that 75 hard each of the last few years. Like I usually will like try to bulk up to try to put on muscle, and like in the winter and stuff, and maybe I'd, and then I'll start 75 hard and I'll just get really leaned out, and then like I'll get, you know, a six pack. And it's like same thing with the marathons. Like you finish the finish line, I'm going for that 100 miler. I know I'm going to get that belt buckle, that 100 mile buckle. All these things are really cool. I have stuff on my walls, like, and stuff behind me. Like, they are, like, I, it does feel good, but I've learned that that's not really it. Like, what you really want to do is to become, I've heard this from Alex Hormozy, makes a lot of, like, personal development content. He's a, you know, social media entrepreneur guy, but I can't speak on that, but he does have a lot of good personal development nuggets. It's all about, like, the person you become along the way. The person who's able to be like, I'm dropping 10, 15, 20 pounds and I'm getting the six pack and building that skill. Or like, I want to become the person that, you know, like finishes that marathon, like at my best. Or I want to become the hunter that can put an arrow in that really great buck on public land. Like, that's really what you want, dude.
Right.
And because that's what really feels good. And that's why I can't freaking stand this Ozempic crap. People don't get it. Like, you're going to take that thing and, yeah, you might lose that 20, 30, 40, 50 pounds that you always wanted to lose, but you're still going to be depressed. I promise you, you are. And I can't say I've ever done it or I've ever been, like, that super fat, but that's not where you're going to build your self-esteem. And I'm sure, like, there's probably already people getting off that and then getting fat immediately again. And then, again, they'll still say something's, quote, wrong with them, but it's not it. It's not just the extrinsic thing.
It's the
extrinsic thing is very cool once you get it. But it's only cool when like you get it from the intrinsic motivation of like, shit, man, like this 2 hour 50 minute marathon is gonna hurt like a mother. Like 6 minute some miles for 26 miles, but that's my motivation every day. Mm-hmm. Like that's what's getting me running every day. And oh, it's raining out today. I got 10 miles and I got to do them at a fast tempo. And you just go out and do it. And then you go to bed that night and you're like, I'm going to do it again tomorrow. I'm going to do it again tomorrow. And then it's like that old expression. I forget what old football coach, like Vince Lombardi or somebody. It's like, you get paid to practice. Like the games are free. It's like when you get to that point, like you're just embellishing in your work. And like, right. Yeah, that's fun. It's the practice, it's the growth, it's the getting up every day and doing things we don't feel like doing them, but you know you want to do them because you have the extrinsic thing. And that's it, man. It's the becoming the person that can get the thing. It's not the thing.
Yeah. Well said. And what I wanted you to do is you talked earlier about those small wins. How do you build your like little system of habits that support those long-term goals? Like what are those little systems you have in place to, so that those goals do come to fruition?
Yeah. I think this is a big part of it too. Like some people will get motivated and like you have to do the thing, but you also have to spend time learning about like what to do. So what I do, so I have this vision board, right, of the idealistic 60-year-old version of Weston. I'm like, okay, I see that. And then maybe and then actually above it, I'm looking at it. I have my goals for the year. So I have like the big, huge vision. I have the things I want to do this year to help me get there. And then here's a nugget for everyone. It will change your life. Shout out Andy Frisella from the Real AF podcast. I've been listening to him for a few years now. He started the 75 Hard. You get a planner, and this is all you do. And like, does this have stuff in my 9-to-5? No, it doesn't. I have another planner for that. But that's not really like the vision of like what I want to do. So I have a planner, and what Andy said he's been doing for 40 some years, he's a very successful entrepreneur. He writes down, I think he has 5 things. I think I started with 3, then I went to 5, then I've moved on to 8. You just write down things you got to do for the day. So here's your days. I have like a thing for like the year. I haven't told anybody this, by the way, but like this is what I do. I have my goals for the year, and then I got my big long-term vision. So, dude, yeah. And you could, and I wish I could find mine from like 3 years ago, because there was literally like, I didn't know how to train for, maybe I ran my first marathon, but I wanted to run an ultra marathon. And again, I thought I was going to die. There was no way I could ever do it. I remember saying to my dad, like, I don't think I'll ever be one of those guys to run a 50K, which is, that's only 5 more miles than a marathon. You don't know what to do? Number one for tomorrow, YouTube, how to run an ultra marathon. You watch that video. And then from that video, you're going to get another nugget. The guy said he likes to have carbs at least an hour before he goes on his run, like healthy carbs. Number two, what is a healthy carb? Like, Google that. Like, read blog on that. And like, that's all you do. Like, you break it down so simple, and you just give yourself lists of tasks. And do I nail every single one every single day? No. But that's where the intent comes from. So you have to wake up with the right – you can't just wake up and be like, oh, I'm just going to take an L today. I'm going to take an L today. You're going to take an L today. Because then that's just negative momentum. You're not going to get anywhere. You have to wake up with the right intent. And again, it's not perfect. I got – like L's all over here, but I try to just win every single day. And then that's like when you, after a long term, if you feel like you're not going anywhere or whatever, you can at least look back at that and be like, hey, well, I'm still trying to figure out what to do. Maybe I've learned some things about not what to do, but I at least did everything I said I was going to do. And I got some wins I can look back here. Like, I am moving the needle.
Right.
So, I mean, that's it, man. Like, you just, yeah.
So moving the needle, breaking the glass, getting those small wins.
Mm-hmm.
Have there been moments, whether it be in the woods, outside of the woods, where that personal development really has paid off big time for you?
Oh my God. Yeah. I hunted mule deer late season, Idaho past year by myself, Hilberg tent in the mountains. It's on my YouTube channel. It's called Fear. This video actually, last time I checked, it said 18,000 views. And I just started my YouTube channel. I had no subscribers, so it kind of blew up a little bit. One thing I was playing in my mind was like, you know, sometimes like I'm out for a run or like I'm doing things, and people always like to say, like, I like to do hard things. Like, do hard things, like go to the gym or whatever. But like, what's hard, dude? Like, really? Like, is going to the gym that hard? Like, hard is like, like somebody in your family gets sick. Like, that's hard. And going through, you know, problems at work that's like affecting your family financially, like, that's hard. So like, I'm out there on this hunt and I'm getting my butt kicked because most of the unit was up in smoke in a wildfire just a month ago. Actually, Idaho Fish and Game emailed me and said I could take a refund for the tag. I elected to still go hunt in just a small little portion that was like still open. I like had negative odds, really, of punching a buck tag. And I am, and well, long story short, I did come home empty handed, but I really could have killed 2 really nice buck. One was a monster. But anyway, and I saw a lot of does and stuff, but anyway, yeah, I just kept playing in my head. Like, okay, you had all these things against you before the hunt even started. I'm literally out in a snowstorm by myself, no cell service, nothing, freezing. Dude, it wasn't even like, I've hunted late season Colorado, and like, you get a bunch of snow, but then that sun comes out and it's like 60 degrees, and like, you can at least like sun yourself, dry yourself off, get some vitamin D, you feel pretty good. But no, this was like, it would stay at like 30, and it would always keep snowing and like squalling, and then everything was like a wet snow. So you're just frozen and cold and wet the whole time. And hard time finding deer, all these things. And something I kept playing in my head was like, you knew this was going to be hard. Like, you knew this was going to be a challenge. Like, what did you expect? Like, a lot of life is like they say unhappiness is like when your expectations don't meet reality. Like, that's all. Like, if you go into something, like, you're telling yourself, like, I know this is going to be hard. I still want to sign that contract and still do it. I'm like, okay. Like, this is what a hard hunt, like, it looks like. So then that kind of just gave me like a deep breath, because like I just wanted to quit, dude. I wanted to quit and go to a hotel like so bad. But I stayed out there for 10 days. Yeah. And I gave it all I had. And that way I could come home. I didn't punch the tag, but I at least felt okay with myself, because with the knowledge base I had at the time about mule deer and backpack hunting, I felt like I couldn't have done any more. Like, I would get up and move in the middle of the night and like on no sleep, pack up into a different area in glass. Like, I went psycho. But I didn't quit, and that was the only way like I knew I could feel good about it. But just having that in my head of like, this is what like you should have expected. Like, you knew it was going to be hard. So why are you being a victim?
Right.
So that was a really good mindful technique that helped me out there for sure.
Where were you at with the injury in your mind frame?
So that was pretty tough. So I come back from all these hunts, all these things, so stoked. I sign up. This is now November, and I punch my buck tag. I'm pretty much done. You know, just want to spend time with the family around Thanksgiving and Christmas, and still running and everything because I'm getting all excited. I started setting my goals for this year, 2025, and one of them was a 100-miler. I think I just signed up for that, and I knew I wanted to do another big fast marathon. And I actually had several other ultras like lined up through the winter and spring. Well, two more. I'm out on a trail run. Luckily, I was with my buddy, and just snapped my ankle. Just rolled it on this rock, and I've done that a million times. If people like are listening to that trail run, that's just kind of like part of it. Like, you always kind of like eat shit. But I couldn't believe it. It swelled up, and I'm like, luckily, I was with my buddy. I was like, dude, Joey, this is broken. So got out of there. It wasn't like a huge compound fracture or whatever, but it posted me up for like 9 weeks. And it's so tough because like, obviously this is what I love to do and it brings me a lot of joy. Like, it does give me a lot of fulfillment, and like, it got taken away from me. And I know that sounds like privilege, like, oh, you can't run, like, but this is something that like I value a lot. And like the overcoming, like the day after day of like, I don't feel like running, but going and running anyway. So it was tough, but you kind of just got to put faith in this is temporary. Everything is temporary. Every low is temporary. Every high is temporary. This next 2 months is just like running an ultra marathon or just like another 10-day backpack hunt. We're going to, if the elephant's too big in front of you, you just take a smaller bite. If that bite's too big, you just take another smaller bite. You just keep breaking it down and breaking it down. Like, just like in a big race, like if you can't think about the next 5 mile section, you just think of the next mile. If you can't think of the next mile, you just think to that next tree. If you can't think of that next tree, you just focus on the next step. And that's kind of all it was while I was sitting on the couch. And for some people, that's exciting. For me, it's horrible. And I said, you know, I'm afraid I'm going to get out of shape. I'm afraid I'm going to get fat, like all these things. But I was like, no way. I'm getting better. Like, I really believe this. Like, I was talking to friends. I'm like, you don't even, like, no, I'm going to gain on this. So I tracked all my macros. I knew, like, I'm not running. I'm not really burning a lot of calories. Like, I'm going pretty much. I'm never a big fan of, like, cutting out all of one thing. Like, I'm not going zero carb, but makes sense. I don't need a lot of carbs, so I'm going to go low carb, and I'm gonna get my butt to the gym and lift upper body, and that's what I'm going to do for the next, like, 2 months. And sure enough, I didn't miss a day, and I stayed pretty. I actually got, like, pretty lean, like, just being like, out of the water weight and stuff and came back. And it's actually, like, I have a lot of gratitude, man. Like, I was posted up for a long time. And when you come back and start running from an injury like that, these are all hard lessons. Like, your kinematic chain and your legs are all messed up. So even if I came back and I was okay, like, to run again with, like, a little ankle brace, I'm going, but that ankle's so weak. So then my knee flared up, set me back for, like, a couple of days. And I mean pain, like, pain worse than the broken ankle. And then the shin splints. So then, like, the glutes and, like, the whole chain is messed up. So I spent, like, every single day, like, so long, like, doing all these crazy stretches and little exercises to build up these little muscles and a lot of single leg exercises so my other leg could catch up. And you just break it down every single day. And my mantra that I've come up with the last couple of years, I've been saying it during races. I found myself saying it during hunts. I had myself saying it last year. I bought this house and it was a dump, and I guess it's okay now, but I spent months fixing it up, not knowing what to do, taking it one day at a time. And my mantra is, like, you're just not there yet, and that's okay. Just keep going. Because, like, the first sentence is, like, quit lying to yourself. Like, you're not near the finish line. Like, you're not. Like, you're just not there. Like, mm-hmm. You're not. So it's a big reality check, smacks you in the face. The second thing is, like, and that's okay. So it's, like, it's okay. Things are hard. Like, we're raised to be, like, you know, when something's hard, like, stop. Like, bad. You know, things should be easy. Like, we have all this technology. Like, you're supposed to be just, like, taking it easy. Like, no, it's okay. Things are hard because that's where you grow and that's how things get better.
Yep.
So it's, you're just not there yet, and that's okay. Like, be comfortable in the uncomfortableness and you just keep going because we're not going to quit. So it's like that three thing that got me through. I ran 70 miles in 15 hours last year, and I said that most of the time. And that's it, dude. Like, that's really it. And that's how I got through the injury. And I've used that mantra on a lot of other things.
Hell yeah, man. No, that's awesome. Kind of like one of the last things, what does leveling up for this year look like for you?
Oh yeah, dude. Like I said, it's so funny though. Every single year I'm like, oh man, this is the year. This is the year. Just wait. And then I found that, you know, you're never going to have like some big unlock, you know. Mm-hmm. I kind of thought that like after my first marathon, like if I just run this marathon, like I'll just have it all figured out. That's not really how it works. But then you just set the next goal and the next goal and the next goal. So then that's what I've begun to love and embrace, just the process of getting better and growing and leveling up. So yeah, there's a lot of things I want to get better at. These hunts mean a lot to me. I want to become the backcountry hunter that I believe I can be in the West and back East here. So it's that intrinsic success of becoming a better hunter. And I'm going to do that by, I'm not going to hunt my whitetails over corn on a farm. Like, that's not going to make me better, even though that might give me the extrinsic, you know, deer on the wall. I'm not going to do it because that doesn't fulfill the intrinsic. I like to do the hard public land hunts. So that's what I have lined up. Same thing with these races. I really feel like I got something going here where I can starting to turn myself into an athlete, even though that's like uncomfortable to say, because I never really thought myself as really taking it seriously, but I know I need to start saying that to then the behaviors kind of follow. So these huge races, and with that marathon time, that should get me to Boston next year. And it's just so funny because that's a picture I have on this vision board. And I thought that would take me 20 years, but making sure it only takes me 3 years, essentially. So that's on the docket. That's something I want to get better at. And that's something I intend to do. So it's the hunts. It's these big endurance goals. And there's some personal things. Like, I'm not saying that those are the only things in life. Like, I want to get better at relationships. I want to get better at becoming so obsessed, like getting better in type A and all these things. Like, I want to get better at becoming more present and more mindful. So I have like little things maybe I'll keep to myself to just that I practice with that like I feel like I'm at level zero for that. So I could not give advice. Well,
no, that's, but no, but that's things. that's good though to like put that out there. You know, like someone listening can might be like, holy shit, man, there's more to life than just running and hunting, right?
Oh gosh, yeah.
You know what I mean? And I know that you know that, but for some, you know, some may not, but like that's awesome. Like that shows vulnerability, that shows, you know, personal growth and all that type of stuff. So that's awesome, dude. I respect that.
Yeah, thank you. So it's those other things too. But I'll be honest, these hunts and these races are the big shiny objects for me. So
Yeah. Heck yeah. Well, I mean, we have to have something.
Yeah, totally. Yeah. And then, the podcast that I did start. So during this injury also, I was like, no, man, I filmed these hunts. Like I knew I was going to like start the YouTube and all the things. And I've really loved like, you know, watching people like Steve Rinello on Meat Eater, like he's out there on a hunt and it's way more about the hunt. Like if you really watch it, like telling a story and like the whole growth and everything. And that's inspired me and other people have inspired me too. And, I try to put my own like twist on things that I like and start putting those out there. So I, you know, with this broken ankle, I'm kind of just like bench pressing in the gym and I'm on the computer and I'm learning all about how to tell a good story, do hunt films. This is all I've wanted to do for a long time. Put all those together and then learned how to do a podcast. It's something I really wanted to do for a long time too. I was working on building the website actually for a long time. And I'm like everybody else, dude. I don't just say like, I'm going to do this and I'm super motivated every day. Like, no, I had days where I lost confidence and I went away from it for a few weeks and picked it back up and I'm grinding back on WordPress trying to figure out how the hell to do this. So I got that launched too. So it's the website and the podcast. And really what's given me the most fulfillment in a lot of these things too is like getting a random message one day saying, hey, dude, I've been following your stuff. I just wanted to let you know I didn't feel like running today. I saw you running. I put my shoes on and I ran. And I've gotten even some deeper messages on that. Like I had another guy who I've never met say like, you know, I just had a kid this year and things have been crazy and I just let myself go a little bit, but watching you kind of has gotten me more motivated, getting the running shoes back on. I got like a half marathon coming up this fall and just getting some messages like that. And it's like, no, it's like over the past year, it's been like, hold up. Like this is what I think this is really what I want to do. Trying to be a little bit more in service to others with some of these selfish goals that I have, but just kind of sharing what's worked for me and just trying to help people like that just get a little bit more motivated and helping where I can. So that's really intent with my platform and what I'm trying to do and what and try to grow it. So that's what I'm doing. That's again, leveling up for me.
Hell yeah, dude. So other than like obviously people checking out your YouTube, checking out the website, what is the website?
So the website's runtherackoutdoors.com. So I have a few like blog articles on there about training for hunting and then just kind of like some other mindfulness articles on there. I have so much of this like on my computer saved that I need to get on there. Like I've had like ideas for everything that I'm doing now for years or two. Like I think that's the other thing too. Like I'm not, again, like I'm looked at as like pretty type A and like whatever. Like it takes a lot for me to finally get activation energy, but it's like, you just got to start. So
yeah.
I've had all this stuff, a bunch of stuff on my computer that I've written and more that will come on there, but that's kind of like a home base. And then from there you can get to all my social links and YouTube channel and all that. But that is like the website. Yeah.
Hell yeah, man. What's give me some 2 to 3 books that you recommend for people to check out.
Oh, okay. Carol Dweck, Mindset. So it's all about adopting a growth mindset. Doesn't matter what your craft is. It's just how people that become successful, it's just how they think about things, dude. Like they don't look at failing as, you know, something where it's like they're not doing it, they're not worthy. Like everything's a learning experience. Even when they win, they're learning. They're just constantly forever a student. And it's just a great different way to approach life. And there's great examples over there of like athletes, entrepreneurs, and all these things. So Mindset, that's probably one of my favorite books. I also recommend, this is fun too, because I have a cousin who's a senior in high school. He's about to go to college, and he's just so smart, dude. He's so aware for, I was not aware of anything when I was 17 or 18, but he's just like asking really good life questions already. Like, why does so-and-so act like this? Or like, why do we have to do these things? Like, he's just like asking good questions. So he's like reading a lot, which I never read a book till a couple years ago. So I've been giving him books, and I'm giving him that mindset book, but I also gave him a book that he loved. It's called The Magic of Thinking Big, and it's just a better way to like just approach life again and think about things. And it's like, you gotta just, if you're not believing in yourself, man, like nothing's gonna happen. Like, you truly have to believe in yourself to get started, and you just need that little flame. But then what's really cool is like when you start stacking these wins, and you can use kind of like the planner system that I have, or like whatever, or however you want to do it, give yourself evidence, you get more belief, and you get more belief. So belief's out there for the taking. If you just keep showing up and doing the things you're going to say you're going to do, then you get more belief and more belief and more belief. And then all of a sudden you're confident, and then, yep. And then you can be deadly from there. Yeah. So, that's the magic of thinking big and mindset, and let me try to think of another good one.
Because you already said Atomic Habits.
I already said Atomic Habits. Let me look back here. That's a good one. I mean, there's so many that are like just really popular in today's world, like David Goggins' book, Cam Haines' new books. Trying to think of another one.
Dude, I love you were on that one podcast, and they would they title it, or the East Coast Cam Haines, or what they?
Dude, I had nothing to do with that, first of all, but he did. They did say the unknown Cam Haines.
The unknown Cam
Haines. He's a huge inspiration for me. Yeah, dude, love the guy.
I saw that dude, and I was like, that's so amazing. I thought that was so cool.
Yeah, that's funny. But I just do me, dude. He's a huge inspiration for me. I'm not never take away from anything from the guy, but like that was like, dude, I'm just trying to be me. So really, really cool book. And I read it during, I kind of like to read a book about like, kind of goes hand in hand on like whatever goal I have currently or what I got going on, because it might like give me some good activation energy for the day. Rick Rubin, he's been on Rogan's podcast a few times. He's a big music producer.
Yep.
But just a huge artist mindset and everything. He has a book called The Creative Act. And if somebody's out there listening that wants to like maybe make, it could be really any art is essentially anything at your craft. But it really helped me like when I was like, I want to, do this podcast, and like, how do I define success for this thing? And yeah, it could really be used to like for anything you want to get into, do like how you define success. But The Creative Act, it just really sheds a light on, whatever you're doing, whatever your thing is, like that's your art, dude. So all that really matters is how it makes you feel. And as long as like it's fulfilling yourself intrinsically and you're doing the best you can, like that's the other thing too. Like we're not out, like, we never want to be out here like half-assing anything. It was just a great frame to be like, okay, I'm just going to do me. I'm going to do the best I can. I'm going to learn from others and like everything, but it gave me like a lot of like, okay, like,
yeah,
I'm going to do this. Cause I'm going to do it the way I want to do it. And then when you're secure with what you're doing and you just keep showing up, build your self-esteem, and then you're not going to feel any other type of way. Cause there's stories of like people that, make a bunch of money off like TikTok and stuff, he has examples in the book of like these musicians, these artists, they have like a one hit wonder or something, or somebody like they get tied up with like the wrong producer and they take them down like a different genre path than like what that artist really wants. And what's tough is like they might make a bunch of money on that, going that direction, and like that's like who they are. And then Rick Rubin says like that's why a lot of them lead to like depression and stuff, because they never truly fulfilled the art that they wanted to do. So it's all about like making sure that that's your aim, keeping it there, doing the best you can. And then any extrinsic thing that comes, that's just the cherry on top. So The Creative Act, Rick Rubin, that was a phenomenal book.
Nice. I might put that on the list now. Yeah, that's awesome, man. Dude, appreciate it, man. I'm pumped to see you here in a couple of weeks, and we'll get a chance to hang out and shoot the shit in person, and it'll be fun, man. I love this conversation, and you offer a lot that hopefully, no matter what stage in life that you're at, you could get something out of it. And if that one nugget, man, is to show up and have intent. And, you know, so right now, if you're sitting there thinking about it, just do it. Whether it be setting an alarm to do something early tomorrow morning, whether it be to do a workout, whether it be to go for a walk, go for a run, do something, maybe start something, an activity, a hobby, or something with your family, just go do it and be there, be present, and have intent, because we're weird creatures of humans, and when we really put our mind to it and put forth that effort, we could do some awesome stuff. So Weston, man, I appreciate it. Please, people, as you're listening, go check out runtherackoutdoors.com and check out his podcast, check out the YouTube channel and all the other podcasts that Weston's been on. Weston, man, good luck on your hunts coming up here this spring, and we'll be catching up at TAC, man. So thanks.
Thanks, man. Appreciate you having me on. Great conversation as always. Always stoked to just sit down with like-minded guys and keep doing what you're doing, man. It's awesome.
Thanks, dude. Maybe we'll be able to get a lift in one day. I'm all about.
Oh, dude, that'd be awesome. Yeah,
that'd be sick. I know.
Yeah,
you know, back when you started these podcasts, where I know when I did, be like, oh man, we should get a hunt in sometime and all that stuff. Now I'm like, yo, let's get a lift in.
Yeah, that's great. It's great. It's all good.
Nah,
yeah.
Man. Thanks, dude. All right, everybody. Thanks for tuning in this week. Antler up.
Thanks for listening to this episode of the Antler Up podcast. We hope you enjoyed it. Please go check us out on our Instagram, YouTube, Facebook, and at antlerupoutdoors.com. If you enjoyed this episode, go leave a review and subscribe for next week's episode. Until then, Antler Up.
I saw this app.
I got a hit.
In the new limited series, DTF St. Louis, Jason Bateman, David Harbour, and Linda Cardellini star as three suburbanites who spice up their love lives.
Wow.
Don't miss the new HBO original limited series, DTF St. Louis, premiering March 1st on HBO Max.
You're listening to the Sportsman's Empire Podcast Network, and this episode is brought to you by Interstate Batteries. For all of your battery needs, visit your local Interstate Batteries retail store. Interstate Batteries, outrageously dependable.